You know, if we were to send up a Voyager 3 and we wanted to introduce rock bands, I might just send Foreigner.
I love Foreigner.
You could probably even co-sign that, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah. These are the ones we're playing now. Yeah, I like their hits.
Michael Kelly joins us from Hancock and Kelly. Hey, my friend.
Hey, long time no talk. How you guys doing?
Yeah, no, doing well, buddy. So I enjoyed Hancock and Kelly this week. I enjoy it every week, 8:30 on Fox 2. So how did you find out has become such a thing in the past couple of weeks? How did you find out about Donald Trump and the assassination attempt? How did you find out that Joe Biden dropped out? So I'll ask you yours. How did you find out, and what was your initial reaction to it?
I was coming back from taking the trash out, and I hit the Twitter button, and there was a message from the president saying he wouldn't run for reelect. And I was relieved. You know, Dave, I've ever since that debate, it was just so hard. I was early with Joe Biden in 2019. I really saw him as the only pathway to the White House and got engaged in the campaign and worked it here in Missouri because I believed that much in it. And then over the last year or so, I've seen a lot of degradation of the president and, you know, have any one of us who've witnessed it in our own families can spot it in others. And it was just obvious to me he wasn't going to be able to last here. And I'm relieved that he's made the decision he's made. I think it's unfortunate that we had to go through some of the political pressure and embarrassment that may have come as a result of it. But look, now we're at a good place, and we're sliding towards a convention that's about 2 weeks away. That's enough time for our nominee to put her ducks together and make a presentation to the entire country. And Dave, I think this race has been reset. From the assassination attempt on the former president now to the replacement of President Biden with what looks like will be Kamala Harris as the vice president running for president. I think this game is reset. We are right back where we started. This race is going to be close, and it's going to be all about turning people out.
Don't you think that Joe Biden, the guy, Joe Biden, the human being, is probably sitting there at his beach home, equal parts pissed and hurt and relieved?
Yeah, you have to imagine. Listen, I've been lucky enough to be around a couple of these people who've chosen to run for president. And they're special people, and I don't mean that in a weird way. I mean, it takes quite a bit of a hefty ego, quite a bit of a ability to eat some bad things and have to swallow some stuff. And so, yes, I think that the inner desire inside Joe Biden will continue. I know it continues in some of the people that I've known pretty intimately, but I think you're right. I think he's going to be relieved. I would be sitting there thinking, man, I got the world's greatest airplane. What can I do for the next 4 months? Maybe I'd like to go to Paris and see the Olympics.
You and me both. So let's talk about Joe Biden's legacy a bit. One thing that bothers me, and as you know, I'm an independent. I hate the partisanship. I think it's terrible for the country. I was really mad at both gentlemen when they refused to shake hands at the debate. And then you see Great Britain announce and have an election in like 3 days and say really nice things about their opponents. It's just we should be more like that. I miss the civility. But there's such a vast difference between Trump saying he's literally the worst president we've ever had. He's an absolute disaster. And then a lot of the things the Democrats are saying about him, where they're couching him as the most important and prolific president since probably LBJ.
Well, yeah, the extreme nature of the campaigns is upon us. And there feels like there's been something bubbling up in our country since, I don't know, 2006, 2008 forward. And that's happened in the past, right? We had giant explosions in the 60s and, of course, World War II in the 40s. It just feels like we are headed towards something. The tone that the former president used on his opponent is on brand and is where he's at. That's just who Donald Trump is. You would hope that he would be a little more magnanimous, but he's reminding us daily who he is. And I think that's one of the things that inspires the Democrats is You know, we watched the convention. I saw them say that he had a divine intervention and he was a changed man. And then 3 minutes later, turn into calling people animals. I don't know how you play nice with that type of behavior. And I don't know what kind of a crash course we're on here in this country, but maybe it will be someone who can unite us and elect us with a positive vision and kind of turn the temperature down in this country. But I sure don't know where the switch is.
So let's talk about Kamala. It's not a coincidence that she is the current vice president. She earned it. She was selected. She's put in 3.5 years. That's real experience on the ground that I value. But if she were not, if she were just in a pool of Gavin Newsom and Beshear and Mayor Pete and people like that, would she be your pick?
Probably not. But having said that, a lot of life is luck. I know you can vouch for that. Mm-hmm. In my life, there's been luck. She got selected to be the president, and the man that she's running with can't answer the bell. And guess what? She's next in line. She was able to solidify the work behind it. You know, it is what it is. And she lucked out, and now she's doing the work. And I think she's going to have a good story to tell America, particularly because, remember, this election – up until about 3 weeks ago, Dave, was about Donald Trump and whether or not people wanted to repeat the 4 years of Donald Trump. Then we had the meltdown of President Biden at the debate, and the election became about the health and fragility of the current president. Well, now the race is reset. Where will the voters view this? Do they view this as an inexperienced person, or no, this is the vice president who comes with some qualifications, comes with some experience, and surely comes with a base of support? Or do they view her as, you know, some type of incompetent person who's going to carry on the message of Joe Biden? I would rather be in the place where Kamala Harris and the Democrats are, because there is no fixing and putting makeup or Band-Aids on the problem they have with Donald Trump.
Michael, how confident are you in Kamala's ability to withstand the attacks that she's going to face from Donald Trump? And is there any indication of a strategy that she's going to take so far?
Well, I think right now she's just trying to shore up her base of support, and that's what she's focused on. You know, Rachel, I'm one of six kids. I got five sisters and a mother, and they're the strongest human beings I know. They could clean up messes and take more nonsense than any other humans that I had met in my life. I think Kamala Harris will be just fine with whatever kind of schoolyard bullying Donald Trump and the Republicans want to do. You don't get to the place that she's got in life as a strong female without having already taken those punches. And I hopefully the tide is changing in the acceptance of that type of behavior. Mm-hmm. The former president is not kind to strong women. And maybe running against Kamala Harris will put an even bigger spotlight on that, and that will continue to rub people the wrong way.
Michael, in your experience, you know, regardless of which candidates, I know you've worked with some presidential candidates, but what's the key to swing voters, or does it change every 4 years? Because it seems like everything's about that in about six states.
Kevin, I don't know if there is such thing as a swing voter in this upcoming election. I mean, you really have to wonder what's wrong with a person that they're not able to decide between these two sides. Now, there are some states that matter, the swing states where there's going to be extra effort put in. But most of the communications I'm seeing now in campaigns, and by the way, Kevin, this is top and up and down the ballot, is more related to the attacks on the other. And I think that that's a bit problematic.
Mm. That it's too much about what your opponent is not and not about convincing people
yeah,
that it's you?
Absolutely. I mean, I live in the 1st Congressional District, and I get to know all the bad things about Cori Bush, and boy, do I know him. And I get to hear all the bad things they allege about Wesley Bell. Neither of them have told me what they want to do. Hmm. Neither of them have told me how they're going to make St. Louis a better place. Now, I've got a record to look at as it relates to both of them, so the choice is easy for me. But I would like to hear an aspirational message from Kamala Harris as to what she's going to do to take this country forward. Or should we elect the oldest candidate ever to run for president of the United States and Donald Trump. So I want to hear what her vision is, and I think that's what will connect with voters.
Huh. Michael, it seems like in every 4 years, every 2 years conversation that we have, we, the royal we, and you and I, and I know that at your shop, a lot of what you do is you run campaigns. Do you foresee a time in our lifetimes when the typical hit ads and the negative ads and Mike Kehoe loves China, when that's not the stock in trade and when it's a little more intelligent and a little more targeted?
Oh, I would pray that would be the case, but that's not going to be the case. I mean, there's a reason Donald Trump rose to the top of the heap on the Republican side. He knows how to get dirty and get messy. And at the end of the day, we all like it. We can sit and we can complain about it. But I'm telling you, I look at the polling. I know what works with people, and it's still divisiveness that works with folks. And what I think both of these sides are trying to do is stoke the anger that exists in each of you, because there's really nobody to persuade in this upcoming election. It's all about turning out your own base. And I think if that's the case, Dave, you're just going to see people coming with gasoline to the bonfire, not water.
So it's been a while since the Republicans won the popular vote, which tells me that there is a strong Democrat base out there. Is it your belief that if Kamala is able to turn out the base, she wins, or does she have to go above and beyond?
Well, I mean, the majority of people in America are Democrats. We just happen to live in a couple of states or in the urban areas. So she's got to stoke her own base and turn out big, but she's got to win in these five or six states. And you know, that's what I think one of the calculations we may see her make over the next couple of weeks before she picks her nominee. Is there someone who can help bring a state to this ticket? And, you know, Dave, Pennsylvania, there is no route to the White House for the Democrats without winning the state of Pennsylvania. I've got my eyes on Governor Shapiro as a result of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the focus is. I think we're going to block and tackle politics, rile up your base, bring them out. But all the focus remains in these four or five states that the people where the Electoral College will peter.
All right, buddy. We appreciate it as always. Thank you, Mike.
You guys roll down the windows on the way home tonight. It's beautiful out.
Yeah.
All right.
Enjoy it. Nice. Bye. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, my son Nick's been working for Mike for a couple of years, and I think I drive him crazy because I find it fascinating, you know, whether it's Tracy McCreary that Nick was doing her fundraising and local, you know, the state Senate, or it's congressional, just the crunching of the numbers. I'm not much of a math guy, but the crunching of the numbers, and we have to get these people to turn out. How are we going to do it? It's all so fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, for most of us who live in 44 of the 50 states, it's just going to be what it's going to be.
It's going to be what it's going to be.
Right? I mean, Illinois is going to be Illinois. Missouri is going to be Missouri. Yep. It's about six states, basically, and whether or not there's any kind of
But isn't it fascinating
sway.
how they switch? Because I'm old enough to remember when Missouri was a baby blue state.
I mean, it was called the bellwether state.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
Georgia.
This is the one that would tell you how the nation would go. And now it's obviously decidedly one side, which is not wrong or bad. It's just different.
Yeah. And it'll go back.
Because haven't we heard? I didn't live here.
It'll go back again.
I didn't live here during the time. But I mean, from my understanding, listening to Michael and John Hancock talk about these things, that it used to be Jeff City was mostly Democrats, was mostly blue. And then it just has completely flipped.
Just huge. 325 DGS. Dave Murray's back, right?
Could be.
Lazy ass.
Sorry.
I heard otherwise.
Should be.
Well, something better comes along.
Yeah.
Unless
somebody invites him to play golf.
Wheels just really made me miss when Phoebe was little. There was an ad for like a blow-up pool with someone had like a lawn chair in it. And he asked whoever did that. And I really try, having two kids, to enjoy every phase. Like, Nick will be 30 in January. Nick's literally my best friend. Not just like, you're my best friend. Like, he really is. And then Phoebe's 19 with all the things that come with 19. All the wonderful things, all the terrifying things. But I miss, especially when Phoebe was little, because I had a couple of nickels to rub together. Not that you need more than a couple of nickels to buy a blow-up pool.
Right.
But we've never had a pool, but we'd buy like the Hoosier version, like the big blow-up pool, like the one that you leave the air in overnight.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like we had a canoe in it one time. Like, it's so great when your kids are little because you get to be little again.
Yeah, you get to play around and be silly.
Stupid and play. Yep. Like Rach, you with your girls, you get to play dolls. And
it's so fun. It's so fun getting to play. Like having an excuse to play with a Barbie as opposed to me just
picking one
up by myself.
They want to quit and you're like, let's go a little longer.
Exactly.
Very sweet.
No, it's fun. Like to me, that's why I always end up like when we're at the big family parties or whatever, like for the holidays, I'm usually the babysitter because I'm the one downstairs like just throwing darts at the kids, not real darts, you know, the kid ones.
Making the children stand in front
of the dartboard. Yeah, just stand there. Hey, listen, we'll play William Tell. You ever hear that story? Stand still. No, like they're not boring. Kids are not boring. Kids are always fun. Now, sometimes, you know, they're upset or you get a little brat here and there, but mostly they're always entertaining and silly when you're in those settings.
Well, I was thinking about this over the weekend. What is your approach with your ball players? Do you believe, like, the chief can't also sit around with the Indians kind of thing? Like, you got to be the boss?
No, it's both. You have to have trust first, then you can get after them. You know what I'm saying? Like, most of what, when you look at our structure, most of our structure is a long off season where it's calm and cool. It's practice, right? You're just getting better. You're in there two times a week, January, February, March. So you're spending 3 months just doing normal baseball stuff. There's no like competitiveness. It's no like you got to do this right. And then when you start the year, I'm usually really hard right out of the gate. A lot of yelling, a lot of, you know, correcting, a lot of, hey, listen, you got to get this or you're not going to play, that kind of stuff. And then as you go, you start to pull back a little bit because they start to do those things. But through all of that, you still have to be a friend. You still have to be.
What level of yeller are you compared to the guys that yelled at you?
About the same as the ones that yelled at me. I didn't have a bad experience with that kind of stuff. I think there's yelling. There's two kinds of yelling. Then there's one that I don't like, and there's another one that is what I do. It's never at the person. It's never, you're terrible, you're bad, this and that. It's always, this thing needs to be better. This is what you're being asked to do. And we're going to talk about the action that you need to take to get better as opposed to you're terrible, go sit down or anything
like
that.
What if they're lazy?
Oh, that's what I'm going to get you. We run polls for games after that for games. Yeah. you don't want to hustle during the game. We'll run after the game. That's how we do it. When
you're hurting. If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to that nasty ass guitar tone. Like they didn't have all the technology we have today. They didn't have modding and stuff. They just had an amp that they would turn all the way up and then record it a certain way. And it's just, brr. I just love it. And no one's ever done it since. I mean, like, people have tried, and of course, now you have heavy metal and everything.
Right, right.
But I would put that up against any heavy metal tone any day of the week. It's just cool.
Well, the heavy metal stuff is from that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, right, everything that came after is derived from that, right?
You're right, it's a descendant, that's right. Dave, we missed you last week, my brother.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Had a golf tournament.
How'd it go?
Well, our story is we had a top five finish.
Uh-oh.
The rest of the story is there were six teams in our flight.
Hey, at least you weren't the worst.
Well, you know what? We tied for the worst. The last day, the two worst teams in our flight, us and another team, great guys, we played. And we went into that three shots down in the flight.
Yeah.
So we had our work cut out for them. We tied them. We ended up tying them. So it was like, okay. I can live with that.
Was your team pretty equal? Did you have one ringer and everyone else was not so great?
No. It's interesting. Obviously, handicaps come into play, and there has to be a 12-stroke differential.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that's your maximum. And my partner is about a 5 or a 6. He's a really good golfer. I'm not a very good golfer. I'm up around a 19. So
not bad.
He had to come down a little bit, and then because he was not the best golfer in our flight. We had a 3-handicapper, and then I had to drop down to about a 16. You know, first day, I played okay. Second day, it was the worst golf I've played in years. Absolute years. It, to the point where my partner said, "That's the worst I think I've ever seen you play."
Yikes.
Look out.
And then the third day, I played really well. I was really happy with the way I played.
Isn't it amazing too, Dave? I know it's a cliche. Nick and I have been playing quite a bit out of Whitmore. It doesn't take more than a couple good holes to bring you back the next week.
Exactly. You know what? On the third day, final day of the tournament, I'm coming off really awful golf, and I'm thinking, oh man, this is bad news. And first hole, had a 4 for a 3 with my handicap. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, here we go. We're going now. This will be great. And it was okay. It was fun. You know what? The deal is that it's fun. At this point, and at our age, my partner's about the same age, it's just fun. It's just fun.
I was going to ask you, do you get upset when you play badly?
I will get upset for maybe a split second.
Good.
And then go.
Good after. For you.
Is that enough for you to throw a club?
No. I haven't done... No, I don't think I've ever really thrown a club.
Wheels, you seem like a club thrower.
I probably would be if I was trying to play. I don't play golf with any intent or seriousness, so if I'm bad, I know I'm bad. I don't care. But I am from a family of club throwers. In fact, the famous story. My dad
sounds
is
like something out of prehistoric times.
Now, my dad is a phenomenal golfer. Like, he has been really good. He's he'd play in local tournaments and he'd won a bunch of them over the years. He's really good. But he in his young days, he was a club thrower. And the big famous story in the family is he took a club to the back of it. He hit a terrible shot. He was mad. So he took the iron and he just whacked it into his bag. And he started pulling out each club and they were all snapped off right in the middle.
That's scary.
That's great.
Because he cut them all in half with his iron.
You know what I was thinking of the other day? That, we have kids. Dave has kids. You teach them the best you can, and then there are always things, I wish I would have told him this or taught him this. I think that if you teach your kids three things, and I mean this, I'm not being silly, teach them to play baseball, because you don't want your kid to be the guy who can't throw a ball. Teach them to play golf, because it's going to come in handy in so many situations when they join the real grown-up world, and have them take piano lessons so that they have a good base in music theory. What do you guys think of that?
Fair.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah.
I'm at least one out of three there.
And have your kids go to weather school.
absolutely.
So, Dave, you picked a good time to be away because it was pretty much just sunny and, 80 degrees last week. Can we continue?
Yeah, we really do. We're a little warmer than last week, but we're in the doldrums of summer, dog days of summer. There's nothing extremely hot. There's nothing extremely humid. And there's no big storm systems in sight. So we're relatively quiet. We could still see an isolated thunderstorm this evening up until about 8 or 9. Most of us will not. Tuesday, same kind of story, partly sunny, a spot afternoon storm, not to worry about, 87. Keep that going Wednesday, though. Wednesday, I do think, still looks like the hottest day of the week, near 90 degrees. Thursday, partly sunny, get a chance of a spot afternoon storm, 87 degrees. I am getting more and more interested in the tropics. We kind of had an early start, and then things have calmed down. There are signs of the tropics really kicking up the first week of August. And there could be some real problems for South Florida and the Gulf of Mexico. So we'll keep an eye on that.
Okay, very good. Headlines, Rach?
Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. All right, so my first headline isn't really a headline. It's more of a fun fact. But if former President Donald Trump wins the 2024 election, then J.D. Vance would be the first vice president since 1933 to have facial hair.
And Donald Trump famously hates facial hair.
Oh, really?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but one of his sons has it.
I think they both do.
Yeah, and he hates his sons.
That's why he hates facial hair so much. You remind me of my boy.
Have you guys seen the quotes that have been circulating about Trump talking about J.D. Vance's beautiful blue eyes?
No.
It's been all over Twitter.
No.
But he's like, he's got those beautiful blue eyes.
He does have pretty eyes.
And people are thinking, like, that's part of the reason he picked him.
He's one of those guys who looks like he's wearing eyeliner.
He does. He has thick eyelashes.
Yeah.
He's doing, I think, his first rally today. Yeah, and I just saw a clip on Twitter from about an hour ago of him just bombing.
Yeah, he was telling a Mountain Dew joke.
Aww. He was like, he's just talking, and he just doesn't have what Trump has in terms of, like, the, you know,
charisma.
The riz, the X factor.
That's what he doesn't have, the riz.
He doesn't have the juice. And so he's just talking and, like, no one's giving him anything. And he's like, okay.
Aww. Yeah. Oh, well, okay. He made a joke about a lot of people calling almost everything racist. And he's like, I had a Diet Mountain Dew earlier. That probably is going to be called racist by somebody, and nobody laughed. Oh. And he was like, okay, guys.
That didn't deserve a laugh.
Yeah, right.
Just bat those beautiful blue eyes at him, JD. All right, Reddit has struck a deal with major sports leagues, including the NFL, the NBA, and the MLB. That means more sports highlights are coming to your Reddit feed. It'll bring more highlights and behind-the-scenes videos to Reddit, but also ads airing alongside video content. Redditors will also see more Ask Me Anything sessions with pro athletes.
Smart. You want to get young people to follow things? You go where the young people are.
Absolutely.
Look at you.
I know. I'm a genius.
Biden's decision to drop out of the 2024 presidential race was a well-kept secret, even from his own staffers. According to reports, Biden's senior staff was notified of his decision at 1:45 p.m. on Sunday, exactly 1 minute before his message was posted publicly at 1:46 p.m.
Really? You know what? I'm going to say something crazy. I think maybe he doesn't drop out if he doesn't get COVID, because he had to spend 4 or 5 days isolating by himself, just thinking about stuff.
Yep. I hear my wife feels the exact same way.
Oh, there you go. Janice is smart.
Good theory.
Yeah. And I've heard that they don't let him watch cable news. So maybe he snuck a little bit.
Wait, they don't let him?
Well, they protect him from cable news.
I can't imagine it's too hard to stop him.
No, I know. But like this sort of like... This is the whole point. Like, you shouldn't be there if people need to not let you see things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Dave. I definitely follow that same train of thought. I'm also thinking it was probably easier for him to drop out with COVID.
Yes.
He doesn't have to come to the podium and be embarrassed. He can just kind of release a statement and be done with it.
Agreed.
Delta is still canceling flights after this huge IT outage that left many flights grounded. They canceled another 550 flights today and have canceled more than 5,000 total since last Friday. I just see all over Twitter, people are like, I've been waiting 7 hours and my flight keeps getting canceled. Such a bummer. All right. Vice President Harris's presidential campaign has raised nearly $50 million in grassroots donations since President Biden suspended his reelection bid. So in about 24 hours, Americans have given $49.6 million in donations to her campaign.
And even though you are the leader of the free world and you've been in public service for 50 years and you're going to go down as a legend, that's got to hurt.
Yeah.
That, you know, as soon as Dave leaves, as soon as Dave Glover leaves the DGS, the ratings go up. You know, it's like that's got to leave a little sting.
Yeah. I mean, I come at so many of these things because I'm a lifelong sports dude. This is what every athlete goes through.
Yeah.
At some point, you're the superstar. And then at some point, you're the guy that everybody wants to retire.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll get the applause, you'll get the going
still
away tour,
making a bunch of money,
still getting paid. But nobody wants you in the lineup anymore.
One more story here. Biden supporters gather outside of the White House holding signs saying, "We love you, Joe," and chants of "Thank you, Joe," as people respond to his decision to drop out of the race.
You know, there are very few circumstances, at least in my life, where the selfish decision and the selfless decision are the same decision. But this feels like that. Thank you, Dave.
All righty.
So I can't believe this has made it on the Google Doc for 3 days, but Rach, what is a 90s poo?
Oh, that's when you go to the bathroom and you leave your phone in the other room. So you just kind of have like zen peace. Like
reading the shampoo bottle?
Yeah, like it used to be in the 90s, so they're calling it a 90s poo.
I have 90s poos.
Yeah, I do from time to time as well.
Yeah.
It's nice.
I would never do that on purpose.
No?
But then again, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to pause.
When you pause.
Well, now we have to know what you're going to say.
Like, well, usually not in there that long.
Oh, well, that's fair.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I thought it was going to be some weirder than that.
Just like the 90s. Just
Even his poos are perfect.
Get in, get out.
simply no issue there.
No, all business.
I'm not saying never. I'm just saying, you know.
Well, when you think about it, most people are not having a 90s poo. They're having a 2024 poo, and they're bringing their phone into the bathroom.
Yeah.
So I just kind of try not to touch other people's phones for any reason. You know, it's like, I don't need that.
That's funny, but it's not, it's a smart thought.
I made a drink, a soda, and I took it in the bathroom with me. I didn't do anything bad, but of course that's where people do bad things.
Yeah.
Is that super gross?
No.
Yeah. It's gross here. It's not gross at home.
It's not something I would do. I mean, I'm not one. I shouldn't pass judgment on anybody.
Andrew's recusing himself.
This kind of conversation has come up with me and Ranj and Amy, and obviously they are on the team grossed out about everything.
Well, yeah.
So, and I'm like, well, here's the thing, Dave. Anything that would get on your drink is getting on you anyway. What's the difference?
Good point. Yeah. If I'm okay with getting it on me.
I mean, I'm just saying, like.
Cut out the middleman.
Why do we have to worry about the drink over on the counter?
They're so woke.
You're in there. Yeah, those wokies.
Those midday woke people.
Wokey Wokertons.
Change the name of their show. Chris and Amy are woke.
More like the Chris and Amy woke.
And I'm over here like, instead of you got a bug on you, I'm like, you got poo on you.
Ew.
Yeah.